fighting for freedom every day. Broadcasting from the heartland of America.
The next generation in conservative talk radio.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Hey, darn right it is. What's up? Welcome into it. It is a Wednesday, man. Middle of the week. Greatest day of the entire week. I don't care what anyone else says. It is the post-post Monday, the pre-pre-Friday, the midweek celebration, hump day, whatever you want to call it. So great to have you with us as you do every single day here on the program. This is the Voice of Reason. I am Andy Hoosier, broadcasting live out of the heart of the nation here in Wichita, Kansas, on our flagship radio station. We are all over the country, multiple radio stations all over the place, and live streaming, and podcasting, and TV, and everything else. So welcome aboard your millennial general reporting for duty like we do every single day. Holy cow, man. What a lineup of topics we need to talk about in such a short amount of time. 1 hour to cram it all in so we do the best that we can. As always, Scott Phelps will be joining us bottom of this hour. He is with the movement. His latest known is from AMP Partnership, but it is the National Marriage Campaign. We've had him on the program before. We're talking about abstinence, trying to focus on, I don't know, family values and the family unit and the nuclear family, which we're apparently trying to not do or trying to tear apart in society today. Why? That's the big question. So we'll have him on the program coming up at the bottom of the hour in just a little bit and chat about how we can bring back those family values into culture again today. Lots to cover, obviously, which right out of the gate, man, we have to do it. You doing all right?
Doing live!
Feeling good? I know. We're excited with Joe Biden. Specifically, are you doing okay, buddy? I'm really worried about you.
I want to be clear. I'm not going nuts.
You might be. I don't know if you've heard the latest gaffe on the campaign trail, but let's jump into the Biden basement, shall we?
Let's go into the Biden basement.
I see an America where we protect freedoms, not take them away. I see an economy that grows from the middle out and the bottom up, where the wealthy pay their fair share, so we can have child care, paid leave, and so much more, and still reduce the federal deficit and increase economic growth. Folks, imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years. Four more years.
Who's this?
Four more years. Four more years. Four more years.
That was a little bit awkward. You ever been to one of those sets for like a late night TV show, if they're recording a TV show, and you see the sign above that says applause now? This is when you're supposed to applause. This is the laugh track when you're supposed to laugh. This is what you're supposed to do during the recording of these programs. Yeah, that's that's essentially what just happened at a Joe Biden rally. Now you can tell all of a sudden, oh, we're supposed to do it now. Four more years. He's the one that started it. Here's a little hint to the campaign, to the candidate. You're not supposed to say the chant of trying to encourage yourself for four more years. They're supposed to do that because they're excited. But instead, you got this.
Imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years.
Let people chant. Oh, okay. That's the leader of the free world right now. That, my ladies and gentlemen, is the latest from the Biden basement.
Let's go into the Biden basement.
Which, speaking of the Biden basement, before he went out on the campaign trail, as of earlier today, he ended up signing officially the foreign aid bill that was passed through the House of Representatives on Saturday and passed through the U.S. Senate as of yesterday evening. And by the way, by a pretty decent majority, it passed by 79-18 margin. So 18 individuals in the Senate ended up voting against this bill for concerns of, I don't know, freedom of speech, or because we're supposed to address issues on the home front before we start addressing foreign policy issues. But nonetheless, 18 people that included actually 3 Democrats and 15 Republicans that voted against that bill. Probably, I'm guessing, Bernie Sanders, which he's not technically, he is a Democrat, he's an independent technically, but he's still one of those Democrats that voted against this bill. So the more radical Democrats that think it doesn't go far enough, and then of course the Republicans that realize this is a ridiculous, absurd bill that didn't need to go anywhere, that's what happened. But this bill included, I don't want to talk about the Ukrainian and Israeli funding, I get it. okay, you know, we weren't going to stop it. We weren't going to do anything to be able to cease it from happening. But nonetheless, it did happen. So there's not much we can do with that. That includes, by the way, $61 billion in aid to Ukraine, $26 billion to Israel, and $8 billion to the Indo-Pacific, specifically for Taiwan, that's getting ready to be invaded by China, which is our concern. It also includes the banning of TikTok in the United States. And the way this is worded, now they started off with 6 months for TikTok to be sold off from the company of ByteDance and be sold to a company that's not in the nation of China. The final bill ended up revising that a little bit from the 6 months that they had to sell off to 9 months, with the potential of a three-month extension to that if they are in the process of being sold off but just waiting for the transaction to be finished. So 9 months plus another 3 months potentially. So a full year, essentially, if they're going to sell off the company from ByteDance in China to another company that wants to oversee the social media site of TikTok. The manager of TikTok, the guy that's not Chinese, by the way, the guy that I believe is from Taiwan, I want to say, came out on TikTok on the social media platform earlier today after the signing of the bill by Joe Biden and said this.
Hi, everyone. It's Sho here. As you may have heard, Congress passed a bill that the president signed into law that is designed to ban TikTok in the United States. That will take TikTok away from you and 170 million Americans who find community and connection on our platform. Make no mistake, this is a ban. A ban on TikTok and a ban on you and your voice. Politicians may say otherwise, but don't get confused. Many who sponsored the bill admit a TikTok ban is the ultimate goal. It's obviously a disappointing moment, but it does not need to be a defining one. It's actually ironic because the freedom of expression on TikTok reflects the same American values that make the United States a beacon of freedom. TikTok gives everyday Americans a powerful way to be seen and heard, and that's why so many people have made TikTok part of their daily lives. Rest assured, we aren't going anywhere. We are confident and we will keep fighting for your rights in the courts. The facts and the Constitution are on our side, and we expect to prevail again.
Wow. All right. So that was the manager of TikTok that made a post on the actual social media site letting people know what happened, saying that they're not going anywhere. They're going to continue to fight it in court, and that the Constitution and freedom of speech is actually on their side as they continue to battle this in court. I have to say that how sad is it that we actually have foreigners that actually understand our Constitution a little bit better than our own elected officials? So, yeah, that doesn't really help us on the home front. So he's right. I mean, 170 million users on TikTok, which is over a third of the U.S. population. Now, put that into perspective for just a moment. We're going into an election year where Joe Biden, who, by the way, has a campaign account on the social media site of TikTok, has now said, by signing it, with the vast majority of Democrats and Republicans alike, this is not a partisan issue here, that have said that a third of Americans that use this social media platform, and by the way, out of those third of the population that have TikTok, it's one of their priority social media sites that they use on a regular basis, as well as one of their most popular ones. They have now said that you're not allowed to use this because the government is collecting data on you, and we don't want the Chinese government to collect this sensitive data. Understand the concern. But I've reiterated this multiple times on this program. How hypocritical are we as a nation to take that stance with the collection of sensitive data and materials from the U.S. consumer? Now, according to the AP News, the official statement from those that supported the bill, including the Senate Commerce Committee Chairwoman Maria Cantwell, which, by the way, can we just question the fact of why the Treasury Department and the Commerce Department are the ones that are pushing this to censor and collect data on you and try to have national security issues. We'll get to that in just a second. But the Senate Commerce Committee Chairwoman Maria Cantwell, that ended up passing the bill, said this, quote, Congress is not acting to punish ByteDance, TikTok, or any other individual company. Congress is acting to prevent foreign adversaries from conducting espionage, surveillance, harming vulnerable Americans, our servicemen and women, and our U.S. government personnel. Okay, so that's the official statement on why we're supporting the banning of TikTok. Now, Rand Paul made the statement that it violates the First Amendment because they have the right to freedom of expression and the right to use content of whatever we want to, so he voted against it in that manner. Others, hopefully, came to the realization that we literally just renewed FISA, which is the illegal searching and the violation of our Fourth Amendment rights of our own federal government on American citizens and non-American citizens alike, because we want it for national security. We also have a Treasury Department, like Janet Yellen, that was just in front of Congress, back in February. I know we have very short-term memories here in politics, but we're going to try to remember the best we can, right? Janet Yellen was in front of a House committee just back in February talking about a new program of the Commerce and Treasury Department that were surveilling people to try and stop them from purchasing guns and purchasing Bibles because they're tracking what? Their social media accounts.
I thank you, Mr. Chairman. Secretary Yellen, as Treasury Secretary, you championed requirements that any deposit flows into Americans' bank accounts totaling as little as $600 are to be reported to the IRS. Increasingly, we are hearing the federal government is suggesting banks search private financial transactions using highly partisan political terms, or check to see if customers made purchases that could be associated with legal sales of, like, firearms or even religious texts. My question is this: has Treasury, including FinCEN or federal banking agencies like the Fed, FDIC, OCC, instructed financial institutions to search Americans' legal transactions in attempts to surveil their purchases?
Okay, hold on. Let's stop right there before the actual answer from Janet Yellen. So, in other words, the Treasury Department that is auditing you, that is watching you and your financial transactions, if you remember, back earlier during the Biden administration, and this one, thank God, was stopped by a moderate Democrat because they didn't want to do this, had the ability potentially to track all of your transactions in your own personal or business bank accounts of any transaction, money going in, money going out, above $600, which means if you pay your mortgage, if you pay a car payment, if you purchase something online, if you actually make a credit card payment that's over $600, the government would be notified and they could audit your account and take a look at what you're doing. That was pushed at the beginning of the Biden administration. Now we have this new system, this AI system, this essentially social credit score system, this ESG system that's being set up, not through the Department of Homeland Security to protect safety, but through the Commerce Department, through the Treasury Department, to monitor your transactions, and not just your transactions, but watching what you purchase after they survey your social media posts when you mention something about Trump or Republicans or Bible or guns. Then all of a sudden they get to monitor your financial transactions to see if you're purchasing Bibles or guns or donating to Donald Trump or part of the Republican Party of that sort. And this was her response.
Well, we received a letter from you, I believe, on this topic, and we intend to investigate fully and to respond.
Have you instructed banks and financial institutions to provide this information?
Well, FinCEN's job is to work with financial institutions to make sure.
Are they instructing financial institutions to search Americans' legal transactions in attempts to surveil their purchases?
I promise.
It's about national security. We're just trying to monitor people's bank accounts, forcing financial institutions, your bank, to report this activity to the government if they find it, quote unquote, suspicious if you're a Republican. And we're worried about China's government?
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Well, we received a letter from you, I believe, on this topic, and we intend to investigate fully and to respond.
Have you instructed banks and financial institutions to provide this information?
Well, FinCEN job is to work with financial institutions to make sure.
Are they instructing financial institutions to search Americans' legal transactions in attempts to surveil their purchases?
I promise a thorough look into everything.
Well, this is really concerning, and I would hope that you get to it just as quickly as possible, man.
Wow. So that was Janet Yellen. So let me get this straight. This CINFIN, this program that the Department of Commerce, Department of Treasury is working on, which is already apparently implemented, she started it. And then when they ask about it, well, we're looking into an investigation. I have to admit, I got to be careful. Got to be careful. Got to get in my Zen mode here. Got to be careful while I'm on the radio. No FCC violation words here. I am sick and tired, absolutely sick and tired of someone who's being questioned by Congress in a committee on an issue where they don't know. They're the heads of whatever it is, whether it's Mark Zuckerberg with Facebook, whether it's Jack Dorsey of Twitter, whether it's Janet Yellen of the Treasury Department, all those. And they ask him a question, and, well, we don't know. We'll look into it. What do you mean you don't know? Hey, FBI director, did you do this? Well, I don't know. We'll look into it. Hey, military, are there drag shows on military again? I don't know. We'll look into it. I'm sick and tired of that. You're the head. You are the ones that are supposed to know what's going on. It's almost. It almost slipped out again. So, by the way, CINFIN, if you're not familiar with how financial institutions work, before I got back into radio, I was a banker, and I remember having to fill out some of these reports, and it wasn't like that one. The banks that I worked at, which I won't tell you which ones they were, but I worked at some banks, financial institutions, and we had a report called the CTR, Currency and Transaction Report, and it started after 9/11 when we were concerned about money laundering that was going to terrorist organizations. That's what the whole purpose was that was passed by the federal government and why bankers, financial institutions, had to report this to the government. And we had a certain page, we had a certain screen that we had to fill out. So if someone came in with a massive cash transaction, and I won't tell you the amount, but every bank was different. Our bank had a certain threshold where if it was a penny over this amount, you had to file a CTR, a currency transaction report, that just said who it was, do they do it regularly, what's their business, what's their personal whatever, and you give them the account. You fill out this entire thing, and you send it in to the federal government, and you give it to them. So then they can research and be like, all right, oh, they're doing a $20,000 cash deposit. That seems a little weird. Let's investigate them. Is that part of their business because they're just a really popular stripper, or are they actually trying to funnel this money and money launder it into a terrorist organization? What's going on? And it was either money going in or money coming out, where it was over a certain threshold of, let's just throw a number out there, $10,000. And then if it was over that, then of cash. Now, if it was a check, if it was something else, it was fine. But if it was cash by itself, then we had to fill out this report. And that's essentially what they're doing now. But they're not looking at money laundering for terrorist organizations. They're now having the government or the financial institution fill out a report for the government if there's suspicious activity of purchasing a gun or purchasing a Bible or other religious texts or other certain information, where now the CINFIN, and again, she beats around the bush. She doesn't answer the question. She just says she's going to look into it and investigate it. When she's the one that gave the order to do it, she's going to investigate it and look into it on how it's supposed to help monitor transactions. You don't need to know what I buy. Period, end of story. You don't need to know what's going in or out of my account. You have zero authority. You don't need to know a damn thing of what I'm purchasing online or elsewhere. It's none of your business, especially if I'm buying a firearm that's legal to purchase or a Bible that's also legal to purchase, that's legal to purchase, at least for now. And we're worried again about TikTok and sensitive data to China and the Chinese government. This really? Come on, guys.
Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. When Reason meets radio, this is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
So over the break, I had a couple messages from people saying, Andy, why can't you tell us the amount of money that the exact amount that actually was needed for you to fill out when I was a banker filling out that CTR, the currency transaction report? Now that the Treasury Department's working on this CINFIN report, which is essentially the same thing, but instead of looking for people money laundering to terrorist organizations, which is what the whole report was that we had to fill out as bankers prior to, with the currency transaction report, the CTR that we had to fill out for the government, this one, the CINFIN, is now apparently to spy on you, if you're purchasing Bibles or if you're purchasing guns or if you're donating to the Trump campaign or something, then the Treasury Department wants to know about that. And again, we're worried about TikTok collecting our data because China evil, but yet we're allowing our government to do this. And they're just, and when we ask them about it, they're like, oh, I don't know, we're just trying to collect data for, you know, the transactions. You don't need to go anything. But for the question that was asked when Andy, why can't you tell us the exact amount? That was our job. We weren't allowed to tell you the exact amount. So you could be essentially reported on with a CTR, the currency transaction report. We could be submitting reports to the federal government at any time, at any amount, and you weren't supposed to know about it. Again, the privacy that you don't have, apparently, even with your financial institutions, because the federal government tells them, and they were very strict on it. If they found out we were doing transactions as a banker and not reporting it to the government with that specific amount that it was, and sending it in, then we could lose our jobs because the financial institution was held liable for the potential money laundering that was going through their bank through terrorist organizations by certain cash transactions going in or going out. So if you were purchasing a car, for example, and you had the cash in your account and you withdrew, I don't know, 15, 20 grand or whatever, if you had that in there to go purchase a car outright, then we filled out a CTR to send to the government to let them know that you took out this money, and they would investigate it to be like, are you doing terrorist organization, terrorist activity? Like, come on. Let's... I'm telling you how deep the lack of privacy actually goes, even with your bank and how much money you have in your bank account and what that's actually for. They want it now dropping down to $600 of cash going in or out of your account. And the SynFin now is essentially an AI generated or at least some type of new technology or new reports the financial institutions get to report on you for the certain type of purchases based on their monitoring of your social media activity on Facebook and on Google and on YouTube and on everything else to monitor. So if you're really involved or watching things about guns or you're on a web browser searching guns, then that pops up and they can start tracking you on what you do with your financial account if you're purchasing guns as well. I gotta calm down. There are a few things that I do not tolerate, and that's lying and hypocrisy. And right now, our federal government, both Republican and Democrat alike, for allowing the banning of TikTok because China's collecting sensitive data, and we're allowing this garbage to happen, is the biggest oxymoron, the biggest hypocritical statement that I've seen in a very long time in Washington. All right, let's shift gears a little bit here because I'm going to get really worked up really quickly. So let's calm down for a moment.
What's trending today?
Let's talk about some other issues. As you know, there's a societal problem as well on so many different fronts. And really happy to have back on the program. It's been a while since we've had him on. But last time we talked about abstinence programs, trying to work with teenagers to, you know, not just go out and get people pregnant and just be all loosey-goosey in their lifestyles and actually focusing on the nuclear family, the family values, the core family values that we have in society, which are extremely important and could probably solve a lot of the issues that we see in society today. So on the program with us, here to talk about the National Marriage Campaign, really happy to have back on the program, Mr. Scott Phelps. Scott, how are you, my friend? Oh, hold
Thanks
on.
Help me so- back on. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so good to chat with you. I'm excited to have you back on here. I appreciate it. Last time we talked, you guys were you had told me about the program you guys were doing to educate the youth and educate teenagers and how they were so open and susceptible to this. Are you still seeing some success with what you guys are working on?
Oh, my goodness, it's terrific. You know, I try to help people understand that the problem is never the kids. The kids absolutely are hungry for this message. And I was just listening to something, even today someone was on the radio, a younger person talking about how the younger generation is just so fed up with the world of lies that they're living in that they're pushing back now. And, you know, I have felt for a long time that our message resonates so well with young people because it is pure truth. And you know what? Truth is like a balloon. You can submerge it under the water for a while, but it's eventually going to come up. And I think that's what's happening more and more, that the balloon is coming up. And young people are very attracted to the truth when it's presented to them clearly. When we can talk to them about the beauty and the value of marriage and family and how to prepare well for that, they are hungry for that message, and they respond extremely well.
That is really good to hear. I agree. I think there is a lot of people seeking truth, which is why I think podcasts and radio shows and content like this is so popular right now, is because, you know, yes, they want to hear actual truth by someone who knows what they're talking about and actually guide them. There's so much information thrown out there nowadays that it's just that information overload. But trying to find the wisdom, trying to find the perspective, trying to find the guidance within that information is, I think, extremely important. And it sounds like that's what you guys are doing, which is really nice. What's been the, how has it been received on the concept just in general about marriage and starting a family? We see these stats more and more about the younger generations where they don't even want to start families. They don't even want to have relations, really. They don't want to have sex. They don't want to do this. They want to go out and live and just go travel the world and do their thing. But they don't, according to them, at least my generation, the millennials, they don't want to do that. They just want to go live off on their own and go do their own thing, which I find kind of strange.
Yeah, I think you're referring to what's been called DINKS, double income, no kids. And, you know, I think that's a trend, but I think it's a small trend. I don't think it's where most young people are. I think that the dichotomy or the disparity is between their desires, hopes, and dreams and what they believe is achievable and practical. So, for example, we've got research that shows that about 9 in 10, this blows me away every time I look at this data from the University of Michigan, about 9 in 10 high school seniors actually say, I want to get married and have a family and I want it to go well. Think about that. 9 in 10 wow. high school seniors say, I want to get married and have a family and I want it to go well. The disconnect is, do you think that's actually going to happen for you? Yeah. And that's where there is a lot of skepticism and even cynicism, right? A girl put it to me one time this way in a classroom. She said, I think that everything that you're saying is kind of like a fairy tale. Like, we really, really want it, but we don't think it's going to happen for us. In other words, do you want to get married and have a family? Well, yes, and I'd like a Ferrari, too.
So they don't think it's feasible to do it. Why? Why? What are the obstacles that they see where it's just like, yeah, that's nice, but that's just a pipe dream. It ain't going to happen.
Well, I think a lot of that gets generated through social media, but you're hearing a lot about the economic disparity, too, about the young people, you know, that they can't afford to build a home or to buy a home, and they don't feel like they can afford to raise children. There's a lot of talk, at least, about how expensive it is. And that it's going to be hard. And so you do see some of that popping up on social media. But I think, you know, the greatest hindrance to them is that they don't see a clear pathway forward. And so that's our mission. Our mission in life is to help young people see that there actually is a pathway forward in life. That's what's called the success sequence. So our curriculum for schools is called the success sequence program. And you probably heard of the success sequence. It's essentially, there's several different iterations of it, but it's essentially this: 3 steps. Get an education, get a job, and then marry prior to having children. If you can do those steps, those 3 things in that order, chances are, according to all the researchers and all the big think tanks, Heritage, American Enterprise Institute, Brookings, they're all saying the same thing, that if we can help our young people do those 3 things, statistically, they're going to be all right. They're not going to be on government support. They're not going to be on food stamps, welfare. They're not going to be in poverty. Yeah. It's going to work out. So our whole mission is to help young people understand the success sequence, and more particularly, why reserving all sexual activity and childbearing for the context of marriage is going to be better for you, better for your spouse, better for your children, better for your community, and better for the culture. Marriage is a cornerstone of culture, and we want to help young people appreciate that, value that, and aspire toward that.
Amen to that. I love the message for sure. We're talking with Scott Phelps. You can find the information at nationalmarriagecampaign.com, and you can see all the great information here. There's a, speaking of podcasting and content, there's a podcast show, I don't know if you've seen it or not, called Whatever. And I've never actually listened to a full episode of it, but I see these clips pop up on my social media often where it's a round table of like 10 to 12 people. And this guy hosts it and he brings on, it's kind of funny, he brings on multiple girls who do like OnlyFans accounts, which for those that don't know what that is, don't look it up. But it's, you know, these girls that show off their bodies for money on OnlyFans. And they bring all these girls on, but then they have somebody on there that's vehemently against that stuff, that has traditional values, and they challenge them and have this conversation, and it makes these girls look absolutely foolish when they get challenged on their views on this issue. which I find extremely ironic because I don't know how that's sustainable. I don't know how they just accept it and they think it's okay. But my question to you, and we got to take a break here, so I'm going to tease this going into the commercial break here, is for young girls who see this type of lifestyle, this OnlyFans, the showing off their body, trying to be an Instagram model, trying to be, you know, to do this and think that that's their lifestyle. Are we seeing a trend of girls, young girls coming up, starting to realize that that's not the best idea? Are we seeing a trend right now of young girls that realize maybe there's something else and I don't have to sell my body in that way in order to be successful in life or to look for that sugar daddy or to just try and make these videos or this content, just try and make a quick buck? Are we starting to see a trend go back the other way? Because this blew up pretty quickly and pretty bigly for a while. And I'm curious on seeing where we go from that. So we'll do that with Scott Phelps when we come back right around the corner. Got to take a break. One more segment around the corner. Fascinating stuff. As we try and find ways to bring back the core family values, we try and bring back the family unit to bring society back together again. We'll do some of that when we come back here right around the corner. Stay here.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Darn right it is. Welcome back into it. Got a couple minutes left here of the program. Trying to cram that 10 pounds of reason into that 5-pound bag. Trying to rebrand the millennial generation one radio listener at a time. Hey, by the way, go to Bidenomics.com. I know it sounds kind of strange. I know that Bidenomics, what are you talking about? Bidenomics.com. Go check out the real information about what's going on with Bidenomics, the economy under the Biden administration for the past 3 years. You'll see inflation up near 20% over the past 3 years. Energy itself up near 30% over the past 3 years, all under the reign of Joe Biden. Our friends over at Americans for Prosperity, great partners with us here on the program. They bought that domain to give you the truth and the real information. So go and check it out, Bidenomics.com. If you also want to sign up and be part of the movement, which we are going into election season, you can join them online at prosperityispossible.com. Prosperityispossible.com. Sign up. You don't have to do anything. They'll just send you emails with information on what's going on economically and how you can be part of the movement. They are the largest grassroots campaign and grassroots organization in the entire nation with over 4 million volunteers. It's absolutely amazing. Be part of it as we get closer to election season. Prosperityispossible.com. Prosperityispossible.com, our friends over with Americans for Prosperity. All right, we're hanging out right now with Scott Phelps. You can visit his website, nationalmarriagecampaign.com. Go and see what they're working on, trying to bring those family values back. And Scott, I kind of posed the question going into the break was the values of yourself, actually seeing yourself in a better light. Are we getting better with that, especially with young girls where they see all of these Instagram models and they see these OnlyFans girls making tens of thousands of dollars every month because they're showing off their bodies? Are the next generations, the new generations that you're talking to, seeing this and be like, you know, there may be some money in that, but I don't know that I really want to do something like that?
Well, you know, obviously that is a challenge, right? And you know what it reminds me of, and it reminds me of years ago, the question was, when dealing with inner city youth, particularly young males, it's much easier and more lucrative for them to join a gang and sell drugs than it is to stay in school, right? In other words, the question was, how do you encourage, you know, young inner city males to stay in school when they can make so much money out on the street? It's the same kind of a thing. And so I think there's a similarity here in that where you don't have legitimate pathways forward, people look for alternatives, which are illegitimate pathways forward, whether it's selling drugs or whether it's this OnlyFans selling your, you know, images thing that you're talking about. Yeah. So I think, again, that the answer is to help young people see the clear path. I think they want the clear pathway forward, and I think that these alternative paths are ones that people turn to when they can't see a legitimate pathway forward. And that's why we're passionate about presenting youth with the success sequence messaging so that they can see that pathway. And yes, the answer to your question is when they see and understand that there is a clear pathway forward for their future, they are very, very hungry for it and they eat it up.
Yeah. That is great to hear. It is funny. And again, I reference that podcast that I listen to that's kind of entertaining, where when they get the question posed to them, because they're dumbfounded when they find out that guys actually don't want to be with a girl that sells their body for money, because obviously men are protective and they're territorial and they want their woman to be their woman. And, you know, when they talk about wanting to start a family, wanting to have kids, and all these girls are excited and they just don't understand why they can't get a nice guy like that. And then they talk to these people, they glaze over, the light bulb finally clicks on. So getting them before they get to that point is kind of imperative to show, hey, you know, if you want to go down that road, I guess you can. But guess what? The dream about having the family, having a reliable guy, having that family unit, that's going to be harder or near impossible to get, because that's not the way people operate.
No, you're right. And I think, you know, I'm trying to encourage you and your listeners with that data out of the University of Michigan, that about 9 in 10 high school seniors do hope to get married and have a family someday. The challenge is, you know, they don't know how to do it. They don't know how to get there. It's not the want to, it's the how to.
Yeah.
So what we've got to do then as adults is link arms and work together to help young people, and that's what the National Marriage Campaign is all about, help young people see the beauty and the value of marriage and how to get there. That's what we want to help them understand.
It's what it's all about. I love it. NationalMarriageCampaign.com. Go and check out the website. See what you can do. Get your resources for your community, and that way you can help spread this message. Let's bring the family back together. Let's get the nuclear family back. Let's stop relying on other government agencies to take care of our kids for us, like, I don't know, the public education system, and actually do it ourselves. Scott, it's so good to talk to you, my friend. Keep up this fight. Let's do it again real soon, brother.
Thank you for the good work you're doing.
Hey, absolutely. We do what we can each and every day, and I know you guys are as well. We'll get you back on for another update. Until then, fascinating conversation. We'll break some of that down again tomorrow. Until then, be your own voice of reason. It's time for you to speak up, speak out, speak loud, speak proud, speak the truth, and always speak some reason. This is The Voice of Reason. I'm Andy Hoosier. We'll see you on the radio.